Well, good morning, everybody. My name is Ursula. I am a food addict. Thank you to Chia for inviting me. This is fun for me. And it's part of my recovery to do service when asked, and part of that is sharing at meetings. So basically, I came into food recovery in 2003. I was weighing 232 pounds back then. And over the course of about 13 months, I got down to about 140, which is, I'm 137, I think, last time I weighed, but somewhere in that neighborhood is where I've stayed basically since 2004. So I happened to stumble into the rooms of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous. So I hadn't done a full survey of all 12-step recovery options out there. I just happened to be, I had moved to the area, to San Francisco Bay Area where I live now. I had moved there. I was being a stay-at-home parent, face down in the food, just gone through the holidays, eating everything, prepping things, never baking them. Adding these ideas that I was going to be giving away all these treats to friends I didn't have. And it was grim, and I got to a point which I call the duh moment, where I was like, wow, my eating is like really messed up. I mean, I had always been a overweight person, but it was really out of control. And I thought, it's just like I just can't get a handle on this. It's almost like my eating is like, I don't know, what's that word, like disordered or something. And I was like, wow, you think, you know? Yeah, you probably have an eating disorder. You're out of control. So I was like, I don't know what to do about it. And it happened that we were getting this little free newspaper at the time that would plunk onto the door at our apartment building every morning. And actually, I think it might have been a weekly. In any case, in the lively arts section or whatever, one day there was an article about Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous. And I'd never heard of such a thing, but keeping in mind that I was a stay-at-home parent, and even something as terrifying as going off to a 12-step meeting in an unknown place might have been attractive compared to staying home with the kid even more on the weekend. I told my husband at the time, I said, I'm going to go to this weird meeting. And he said, okay. So off I went on a Saturday. And I've always been an atheist, but off I went to some church up in Redwood City, and I thought of it as a church basement. It had a church basement vibe, even though we don't do basements out here in the Bay Area, really, but it had that kind of vibe. And it was a big room. This was 2003, so everything was in person. It's a big room. It was full. They were, the woman who was sharing was really, well, one, I was stunned that she said her weight, as I didn't even know what adult women were supposed to weigh. We just never talk about it, right? I had no idea, actually. And so she said her weight before and after, and she talked about her behaviors with food, which also I'd never heard people talk about. And I was like, wow, this is crazy. And then someone said, okay, you know, you should get a sponsor. And some people raised their hands, and I didn't understand how precious sponsors are, so I didn't immediately leap up and go tackle one of those people. So by the time I sidled up to someone in a kind of shy way after the meeting, they were all gone. So I just had to get a phone list and start calling people. And I ended up with what I call the mean lady from Boston. She was actually just a mean lady living in the East Bay, but originally from Boston. And she told me I had to call her at in the middle of the night, you know, at some ungodly hour in the morning, and I had to tell her all what I was going to eat, and I had to weigh and measure it all. And if I called a minute early, I was robbing someone else of their time. And if I called a minute late, I was wasting her time. And she was just really mean. But I'm a good girl, good student, people pleaser kind of person. So I just showed up and toed that line. And the weight came off fast. I mean, the weighing and measuring is a tough thing to do, but and no flour and no sugar, but I got the hang of it, and I will say it's extremely effective. So, like I said, it took me about 13 months, and I do have some pictures to share of what that looked like for me. So hopefully you can see some folks in bathing suits. So this was on the left, me shortly before I came into program, and on the right a few years later. And this was me and my kid when he was just little, and then we tried to recreate that picture later when we were visiting that same area. And this was me right before I came into program. So I was around 230 pounds. And then this is me traveling. So in college, I went to Japan for the second time. I thought that shirt was slimming on me, by the way. I was just like this ginormous person lording over this tiny Japanese family. I was an exchange student. And bottom left, I was in Peru. And bottom right, I was in Spain. So I just show that to remind myself that my program is, I can take it on the road as long as I'm willing. In the case of Peru, like we just called ahead and I explained what I needed, and the little bed and breakfast place was very accommodating. And there are grocery stores in other countries, and it's all doable. So yeah, I lost the weight, and I like to think of the physical, mental, and spiritual. So the physical, everything got better, you know, knee pain, back pain, foot pain, all that resolved. Triglycerides went from doctor calling me with alarm to everything's good, high five. Mental, I just felt a lot clearer. At work, I felt like I just had bandwidth freed up to actually use my full brain for fun, brainy things and not just what I was going to eat and where I was going to get the stuff to eat and where I was going to hide the stuff to eat. And at work, I used to troll around and, you know, hit up rooms where there had been meetings with leftover food or people who had dishes of stuff on their desk. I was always trolling around like a little food-seeking person. And when I came into program, I found a lot of other people were doing that too. So now I laugh about all the other people I'd see in the hallways. We were probably all just trolling around for free food at the office, holding a folder to look semi, you know, official. Spiritually was the biggest, well, I wouldn't say the biggest. Spiritually was a challenge. So, I did not love the, we had the, some, daily reader, and it was all about, it was very God heavy. And I argued with my sponsor a lot about it initially. And she just kind of threw up her hands and said, just take what resonates and don't worry about the rest. And the big book also annoyed me. I hated the to the agnostic, which sounded like there, you'll get there one day. Just keep trying. This is ridiculous. I felt really self-conscious about talking about my spiritual approach in at meeting level. But finally in an AWOL, which was our you know, in-person step study groups that we had, I finally did sort of, you know, come out as a I think I couched it as agnostic. And you know, and there was basically acceptance. You know, it was still sort of the, well, all right, but you know, not ideal, but okay, you can stay in the group, you know? As long as you have some idea of something outside yourself that's not you calling the shots. And very early on, I saw the value of, okay, I appreciate that I have a problem. I can't seem to fix on myself, fix by myself. This group seems to be enjoying physical and mental recovery. So I'm going to take the thinking of the group and try to apply that. I can see where connecting with other people and outreach calls is good community, and we're accountable and supporting each other, and see where the sponsor relationship is keeping me accountable. And I used to joke amongst friendly people that people are always
5 minutes.
like, oh, thank you. That God is directing everything for me and God's making things easier for me. And I would say, God's in my CRISPR, keeping those veggies fresh for me. So I had my reverent moments, but basically I was respectful of the group and just altered everything in my thinking and reading to just make it work for me and ignore the God stuff, but it did bother me. So I was very excited, not that long ago, I don't even know when, probably less than 6 months ago, to stumble onto Secular Overeaters Anonymous. And by then I had moved from Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous over to OA90, which is, they're sort of like cousins almost. Very similar approach, weighing and measuring and all that. But I found Secular OA and I've just been smitten. I just love how we don't have to pretend that we have this God belief, and I can just speak openly about it, and no one's gonna look at me sideways. I love it. And all the recommended reading has been great. When I led an AWOL a couple times, even in my previous group, I would bring in a lot of outside books, the Buddhist approach, the women's approach, I had all these non conference approved things that I would add in to kind of make the AWOL step study stuff more appealing to myself and hopefully to some others who might have been out there too. I'm excited now to perhaps work the steps again, totally with a secular viewpoint, and just exploring, what this is going to look like for me as I go along in my recovery journey. So, but yeah, I'm trying to think. Yeah, spiritually, I actually am part of a Unitarian Universalist church, which is where I like to say all the secular humanists go to hang out, and have community, and they're all often out protesting this or that, or doing social justice or climate related things or whatever. And it's a good community. And again, they don't, you can be anything or nothing in terms of spiritual belief. And so I can appreciate those kinds of gatherings and draw benefit from it. And so appreciate that a community of like-minded folks is beneficial in all areas of my life. And so it's, I know I just have a couple minutes left, but I'll just say I've been thinking a lot about just how addicted I felt to flour and sugar really my whole life, because I can remember even being like a 7-year-old, 6-year-old, and I can remember how focused I was on a sugar item. I used to come home from school and just toss back like a quarter cup of white sugar. Not even something with sugar in it. It was like, I'm kind of an anxious person. I was a very anxious child. It was like the after school drink for the elementary set, was to toss back this quarter cup and kind of take the edge off, go into the rest of the evening. And so I've been learning over the last 20 years, okay, what else can I do to soothe myself? And maybe that's lying on the floor with my legs up. Maybe that's taking quiet time. I've done a heck of a lot of walking. I walk for stress relief. And I'm still learning, because I still have more of a life in disordered eating than I do out of it, right? If I look at the number of years. So I'm kind of getting close to halfway though. A few more years and I'll tip the scale a little bit more on the in recovery side, but still need to learn every day. And I do like staying accountable to my fellows in this program, because I don't have a sense that I could just feel recovered and go back out and into the wild and pretend to be a normal eater. I don't even know how people do it. I just look at people who get up and I'm like, I don't know, what should I have for lunch? I'm like, my, how do you even do that? How do you not know? It'd be crazy for me. So while it seems draconian, it's worked for me and it's given me a lot of liberation. We used to say black and white eating for a technicolor life. And I acknowledge the time is up. So I'll just say it's been a wild ride. It's been a great journey, and I feel like I'm still learning and growing all the time. And words of wisdom come from all of us, who show up. And I'll just say something I said in the meeting the other night, which is I acknowledge how courageous it is for us to show up in these meetings. I think about that first one that I went to. It took a lot of guts to go see what all these strangers were doing. And I think any of us who even log into these Zooms, it's the same thing. It's a courageous vulnerability, and I applaud us all for it. And with that, I will pass.